don't you want to know a little bit more about why your competition's doing? That's why they're customers of ours. From a diligence perspective around your business, don't you think you at least ought to know what's happening there? So it's a different sort of spin on it. So you got to be disruptive. You got to spark people's imagination and thinking, and be prepared to be provocative in a professional way when you're doing those outbound pursuits.
Thank you for tuning in to part two of The Missing Link to More Revenue, Standing Up an SDR Department. In today's episode, Sean Doyle and Ed Rush discuss how to ensure your organization has all the right tools and alignment to maximize revenue generation. We hope you enjoy and are able to apply the concepts to your business. Let's dive in.
Hello, this is Sean Doyle with my friend Ed Rush. Ed, thank you for joining us after that first episode. I think we got pretty far into some really cool stuff and beyond cool. Marketing guys always say things like cool stuff, and every executive goes, I don't need cool. I need effective, measurable, you know, okay. So effective, measurable ideas to achieve revenue goals. Ed is the CMO at Blue Ridge. He is an expert in a lot of things in the supply chain space, but really, I think he has proven above and beyond to be a leader and have an amazing impact for people looking to multiply their sale price if they're going to sell, or just improve their revenue effectiveness and what kind of net income hits the bottom line through using the tools of marketing. And notice I didn't say marketing and a word about art or design or websites. That's all part of it. But Ed is a serious business leader, and we're here to have a serious conversation. We've identified that in our professional experiences that we see this gap. There's a lot of conversation around marketing stuff, front end, advertising, websites. There's a lot of stuff around sales, sales coaches, and there's even a lot of dialogue around customer success. But rarely is there a dialogue about that middle, the handoff, the gap that most people who are frustrated, they've invested money in marketing, they've invested money in sales, they've invested money in the tech stack to support all of that, and they're still not getting the results they want. So we talked about this SDR role, and we also talked about the data that points to marketing should not be able to, or typically in the $10 to $100 million space, isn't going to produce more than about 50% of the leads you need to close and hit those revenue targets. So Ed, let's talk about how do we get the other 50% of the leads, and what does this SDR thing have to do? Because it sounds to me like you just need to spend more money on marketing and get more sales guys out there, right?
Well, that's one avenue that many immediately jump to the conclusion of, and that might not necessarily be true. And there are other avenues to success. To your point, in our previous episode, hopefully there's been some curiosity developing about this gap in the mid-funnel and how you start to take advantage of being able to grow your pipeline, grow your leads, grow your opportunities to a level, especially from an outlook over the horizon, to have consistent, scalable, assured growth and certainty against a number at the end of the day that you might not have otherwise. And so we've got this inbound channel that's pretty predictable. People can incrementally grow it or start it. You've got a subset of prospects raising their hand, putting themselves in a buying journey, self-identified a problem. You know what that looks like. Other companies or many companies have a referral or a channel sort of partnership where they're getting leads and other opportunities coming in from other partners that they work with out there in the marketplace. Again, things you can do to make that better, nurture it more, and incrementally affect change or at least motion upwards from a numbers perspective in that as well. But neither one of those is ripe for sort of big bang increases unless you're starting from zero or have something in those two areas that's utterly dysfunctional, right? And so the control of your ability to hockey stick is a little limited with regards to those two areas. So if you have ambitions to hockey stick and say, you know, 20% growth, 10% growth, that's not acceptable. We know based on the market opportunity, we should be achieving 30, 40, 50% growth. That's
a lot.
Third,
a big number, Ed.
Yep. Well, we did it here. So this is the exciting thing, right? So in that world, taking your destiny into your own hands in this mid-funnel area, being able to throttle and control it appropriately and drive a result that's that hockey stick type of growth that many are looking for is going to be the sales development reps putting an effective SDR team and program into place, having those service level agreements tightly woven between sales and marketing, and in being able to drive a new level of demand velocity within your own ambitions and ability to drive that. You know, here at Blue Ridge, the market for supply chain solutions has been hot. I acknowledge there's been a lot of tailwinds. You get a inbound level of leads, you get a channel level of leads, and those we've been improved upon, like I just described earlier. But the reimagination of deal velocity at Blue Ridge has ultimately been what we've done from the SDR perspective, in particular on the outbound side, that's allowing us to take full advantage of the opportunities that the market has in place for supply chain software solutions today. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's gone from 20 to 45% growth over the last 12 months running this play. And then to your point in the introduction, from a valuation perspective, the valuation of the company today is 2x where it was 12 months ago as well. Over 2x, actually.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yep. Ed, if we're going to stand up this SDR team, if we decide we want to do this thing, I think most people get the idea of this, we'll just call it 50-50. 50% of your leads come in, that's a good target from all your inbound and other activities. And there's this SDR role that navigates that lead. And I think we know why we don't want to give them to sales, right? They're not ready yet for sales, maybe. If they are ready, if they meet the service level agreement that marketing has with sales, then we should kick them over. Where we kick them somewhere, we gently hand them, right?
Punt them over the fence is what they might say.
Okay, there we go.
The wrong words, you don't want to do that. But.
Right, and I think one thing that's hidden often when we do consulting engagements that gets executives' attention is these are lower paid people. So why do you want, you know, a good outside salesperson can make six figures, in well into the six figures. Do you really want them nurturing a bunch of early stage stuff? No, we want somebody who wants to be in sales. We want somebody who wants to grow and maybe even be that outside salesperson someday. And this is their starting spot. This is where they learn how to do this middle of the funnel. So I'm going to ask you some questions about, before we talk about the roles and who these people are and what people should look for. So there's the inbound person, but what's this outbound SDR thing? And what should inbound SDRs do and not do? What should outbound SDRs do and not do?
So taking one step back from that, one of the mistakes I believe people make is they hire an SDR team, and SDRs are doing sales development work, bringing people through the top of the funnel to the bottom of the funnel and setting up great opportunities for their sales team. And they stop there and don't realize that it's smart to then subsegment your SDR team into different areas of specialization and accountability. So one of the dumb mantras I say, and people get tired of me saying it, is success is found in a relentless focus on focus. And we talked about it in episode one. An inbound lead has a whole different set of dynamics than an outbound lead. And so having people that on your SDR function that can understand those differences, dial into those differences, and properly sort of nurture or affect the journey forward based on how they're coming into your organization. So on the inbound side, what I found is with this inbound marketing, content marketing, all this stuff you can self-service online, 1,000 different resources at your fingertips just by, you know, Googling it, for example. One of the problems that's created in a prospective buyer's mind is the de-conflicting of the information that they're consuming. And so some ways, content marketing has propagated itself to the extent that it's doing sometimes more harm than good. Because you read content A, it says do this. You read content B, and content B is telling you the opposite of content A. Content C is overtly laced with that company's pitch and bias and isn't really very helpful. Company D is somewhere in the middle. And so there's actually a movement in the market. And when studied by Gartner here recently, it's the first time in a long time where the buyer is wanting to engage a salesperson earlier in the process than the previous year. All the years prior to that, the buyer, prospective buyer, didn't want to engage sales until later and later in the process. So it's speaking to that. So from an inbound SDR perspective, here's some things you know. Person found you. You likely know how they found you. What did they engage with? What was the piece of content or two that compelled them to fill out the form and want to speak to you? Likely they're self-identifying to some extent that they're raising their hand, are relating their business problem to what it is you're articulating that you can solve, and are desirous of a conversation around it, or desirous of some demonstration or some articulation of how the company can help them with value. So from an inbound SDR perspective, them being able to operate quickly, have a high quality engagement with that prospective buyer, and immediately demonstrate skills that help that buyer know that we're a company that's going to help them deconflict the information and all the confusion that's out in the marketplace with all this sort of stuff that you're looking at, is a key aspect or attribute of that person. And then that person also being able to, in our universe, identify the sub verticals and the verticals that they're in, quickly capture some of those basic pieces of information around the service level agreement that we have between marketing and sales, and then ultimately plant the seeds with that prospective buyer through to that meeting that says that we have not only expertise and credibility in this area, but then also have this large pool of raving fan customers where we've solved similar problems with that they can relate to. So being able to connect those dots quickly from an inbound SDR perspective is really helpful. Now, from an outbound, outbound perspective, it's us as a company reaching out. We're using our database. We're using our ideal customer profile. We're using the different tools and channels like marketing automation emails, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, phone calls, account-based marketing practices around landing pages, and investigating things about certain customers and using that information to try to create a conversation. The goal in that universe is not the same. There might not be any information to deconflict because that person's not even looking for it at that time. It's more about stimulating curiosity, being able to quickly at least amplify pain of the problem, and being able to connect that back to the buyer that makes them want to investigate it further. Also around the curiosity piece, what is it that my competition's doing? They're doing better than me, or they're likely to perhaps kick my butt, and saying, don't you want to know a little bit more about why your competition's doing? That's why they're customers of ours. From a diligence perspective around your business, don't you think you at least ought to know what's happening there? So it's a different sort of, you know, spin on it. This also presupposes you're only doing outbound efforts to key accounts and critical conversions that you want, the higher revenue bands, the bigger type deals, the higher titles and roles within the organization, because those are the type of accounts and people that you're going to need to create an opportunity versus facilitate an opportunity that's already been identified. So you got to be disruptive. You got to spark people's imagination and thinking, and be prepared to be provocative in a professional way when you're doing those outbound pursuits.
As data compliance laws become more stringent, many organizations will soon have non-compliant CRM data. Maybe you have insufficient first-party data, or you bought information from an improperly validated third party. However, you got it. Fixing it before the 2023 deadline should be a top priority. Fitzmartin's Wake the Dead program takes dead CRM prospects and applies a behavioral science model to re-engage them into your pipeline. In this process, you can reclaim old prospects or delete old ones, giving you a clean and compliant database with new opportunities from previously forgotten contacts. By retargeting with email and text automation, clients you might have considered dead or unresponsive will move forward and become potential prospects once again. For more information, check out the show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
We could spend 3 hours and unpack what you just said. It's a, it's, that was a lot. If I was to try to summarize, no, it was great. It's powerful.
Passionate so about this stuff. Can you tell? I mean, yeah, it's my strength and my weakness.
And you're good at it. I hope you cut your deals with your employers saying, I just want half of the multiple of revenue that I produce out of my work. So if you're listening, Ed's boss, give him a raise. I think he needs a raise. I don't know what he makes, but I think he needs a raise. Anyway, so now I've gotten you in trouble. Yeah, so there's a couple things to unpack under that. So we mentioned in the first dialogue that you need to understand who you are, right? And who you fit and what you really do for those people. And I'm going to add one thing to that dialogue, and that is an external voice of the customer program. Mm-hmm. I sat in rural Iowa with an executive team of three plants a couple weeks ago, and operations guy and plant managers, the general managers, the president, and the SVP of sales. And I've got a list of 32 value propositions, but they're all from one point of view, and that's the maker of the thing. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have the other point of view. Of those 32, and it's fine that they understand those, but we're going to test those against what a customer thinks, right? We're going to call lost prospects. We're going to call current customers. And we're going to call prospects that we've never even, excuse me, I said lost prospects, lost customers, current customers, and prospects. So, you know, how can you do that? You can't call our prospects. Well, sure we can. We're just going to call and represent ourselves as reaching the industry, and you're going to get people's input. Everybody wants to solve their problems, and we're, as a third party, we're the perfect people to do that because they'll talk to us. They're not going to worry about hurting our feelings because we're just dialing in, right? So those calls, those sets of calls give us an opportunity to test that value prop that then could be handed down to that SDR so they understand those pain points. There's some fabulous science out of UCal Berkeley we use. We call it pain mapping. And we end up with a document that explains here's the financial pain, here's the personal or strategic pain, and those three things, financial, personal, and strategic, we can help you understand all three of those pain points. So when you're calling somebody, you're equipping an SDR team to ask the right questions to understand from the buyer's own opinions, right? We're listening to them in a way that an in-house organization, I sound like I'm pitching, don't I? I'm not. To hire anybody, I don't care who you hire, but get that external voice of the customer. You've got to have that to be effective. The other thing I'm going to add is, you very naturally talked about the needs of the buyer changing as they go through the journey, whether they're self-identified or we go out and talk to people. You were talking about them in the terms of key accounts or maybe smaller accounts that self-identify and self-solve problems. It's just important to understand and see that the needs of the buyer, somebody who's not even contemplating making a decision to buy, that's a very different need than somebody who's in the process of preparation. They already know what their problem is, or they think they do, or somebody who's taking action, right? And the science that we're using out of, it's the trans-theoretical theorem of behavioral change, that tells us that people who are already your customers, 80% of them are looking at other people's stuff. So we call that disruption marketing. When we come in, if I'm going to try to beat Blue Ridge, I'm working with your competitor, that I'm going to disrupt. I'm going to try to disrupt your current customers because they are looking for that information. Content overload, I'm proud that I've been published by a thought leadership group out of Nashville. But man, anymore, if you show up with a book or another white paper, it's just everybody yawns. It's like, oh boy, here's another one of those guys, right? I mean, there's a whole industry. Maybe it's a cottage industry. Maybe it's real. But the American Business Journals will write a book for you. You can just write a check and get a book. So yeah, there's just so much content out there. And positioning, an executive listening to this, if your positioning's bad, nothing Ed could ever do for you, nothing I could do for you is ever going to work. The best salespeople can't change anything. You've got to have, it's the foundation, it's the power from which all marketing and sales occurs. So within that unique positioning, Ed, to your point, and that we serve this group, and then in this group, there's a subset, and in that subset, there's a subset. And I probably bore people with this, but the best piece of content we've ever helped a client write was about anomalies in the power signal in harmonics, in the power signal, and how that bounces back to the utilities and creates problems with people's electronics and motors. Would you read that? It's like 20 pages. But I mean, it's astonishingly tight and narrow to the point where I am sure when the engineer that suggested writing it, I probably said, no one's ever going to download that. And I mean, I don't know if it's hit 10,000 yet, but it's thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads because of that tightness. So your SDR team should have that same dialogue, right? You know, they shouldn't be talking about, in your case, we're a SaaS company. No, they should be talking about the problems the customer's having.
Absolutely. The world is rich with top of the funnel content. And it's what, 90% of it, if not more. I would be shocked to learn if that number's, you know, far off. And then to your point, and it doesn't surprise you that that would perform well around the signals back in the electric grid and all that stuff with your motors, because that's where there is a complete lack of good content for meaningful problems that people are trying to solve. So it's one thing to say, in my world at Blue Ridge, we do supply chain planning. We help with pricing optimization. It helps you both sense and forecast your demand, but then you can also use pricing as a weapon to help shape your demand. Great top of the funnel content. There's some nuggets to unpack there that are going to get people kind of engaged and curious about what you mean by that. Now, from an SDR perspective and on those outbound pursuits, where you start to further define it and be very intentional about the problems you're trying to solve and the ability to articulate those problems, disrupt thinking, create curiosity, is around some more specific things. So in the universe here, as an example, it's around working capital, the costs of inventory, or the opportunity cost for a lack of inventory when there's sales available, but you can't service that. What's that mean on your working capital front? And then from a supply chain perspective, around a single plan that works cross-functionally, visibility, automation of manual processes speaks to operational efficiencies that companies gain by working with technologies like ours. And at the end of the day, what we're doing is helping your working capital costs and freeing up cash flow within your organization. And from that operational efficiency standpoint, we're going to help you with your EBITDA numbers. And at the end of the day, going back to that same theme, you got higher EBITDA numbers, you got better working capital metrics, your company's worth more.
Right?
I think that's and brilliant. So if you're dealing with the C-suite, let's have a conversation around that, not functions of supply chain planning.
We hope you enjoy today's episode. Join us for part three, where Sean and Ed continue to break down how your organization can maximize revenue generation. In the meantime, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast, Aligned. You can learn the latest information about alignment, sales, and marketing. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or our website, fitzmartin.com. See you next time.